This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Hello, and you are here with Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming show where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a weekly gaming topic. My name is Elliot, and this week I am joined by the lovely Rachel.
Hi.
How we doing?
Good. I'm here to get intimate.
Ready for some intimacy.
Damn right.
It's definitely the most sexually charged gaming podcast out there.
Look, if there's another more sexually charged gaming podcast...
Yeah, we want to know about it.
Let's tell us now.
We should shut them down.
Yeah.
Which is actually, ironic.
Actually, no, you know what? We should get intimate with them.
Okay, yeah. We'll just, like, join in this, like, orgy of just gaming podcast intimacy.
Yeah.
It'll be delicious and disgusting at the same time.
Let's get a nice 70s porno track going and get intimate with them.
This week on the show, we want to talk about shutting down servers for online games, which is a really sad topic, unfortunately, but something that is bound to happen because obviously it costs money for developers to run servers for their games, and if nobody's playing those games, why bother paying for it?
Does it have to happen though? Because, like, I have to say, when things have shut down for me, there's been a lot of people playing, and a lot of people seem to be upset when a thing's shut down.
It does happen sometimes, doesn't it? Especially when, because you can have players playing your game, but if those players aren't paying for anything, then the developer is still losing out money. And a lot of the time that just means, you know, you either need to reboot your game and do something special and get more people excited again, or you just have to shut down your servers. And that's something we've seen actually happen really recently with Paragon, which was a game developed by Epic. It was this third-person MOBA game, which we need more of. I genuinely believe Smite is awesome. But it really, I guess it just never took off in the way they wanted it to take off. This wasn't a game that was fully released. It was a game in early access, basically. They had a bunch of betas where you could pay to play the game. There were microtransactions within the game already. Like, there was, like, an economy and a big structure already built for Paragon. But I guess they just didn't have the player numbers they really wanted because the game, they announced recently that they're shutting down the servers and they're discontinuing the game.
Yeah, look, they were really nice about it. I have to say that. They did write quite the sorry letter.
Yeah.
Like, sorry we're breaking up with you letter to their player base.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yeah, the Dear John to the player base. But I kind of saw it coming, this one. This one I did actually see coming, unlike some others.
Well, it never really took off in the way, I guess, that Epic really wanted it to, right? Like,
it did have some stiff competition.
Yeah, well, are we referring to...
Do we want to say it?
Yeah, go on.
Overwatch?
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, well, most things, unfortunately, if it's hero-based, get compared to Overwatch.
Although, I'm going to say it now, the servers for Overwatch have been a little dead recently on some things. I don't know why.
No, that can't possibly be true.
It has
been. It's like one of the biggest games in the world.
It is a huge game. I don't know if it's just because of the championships going on at the moment.
It's probably because we're Australian, so Australian servers have very few people on them comparatively.
So it could be that, or it could be because of some other Battle Royale games around. I don't know.
Ooh. Ha-cha-cha-cha.
Maybe yeah, Fortnite taking or down some things. PUBG or taking
well, it's interesting you mentioned Fortnite because Epic Games also makes Fortnite.
Yes.
And in their apology letter, their breakup letter, they basically said that they didn't anticipate, number one, the failure of Paragon, and number two, the insane success that was Fortnite.
Yeah.
So what they've ended up doing is moving people who were on the Paragon team and saying, well, we need those resources on Fortnite because there's so many people playing Fortnite that we just need more support in that area. And because of that, like, Paragon just continued to suffer.
It really did. But do you think that the people playing Fortnite are playing Fortnite the way that they wanted Fortnite played originally, or the version of Fortnite that came out to compete in the Battle Royale arena?
Yeah, so Fortnite is in kind of two stages. There's the kind of cooperative PvE game.
Which is great.
Which is the standard Fortnite. And then there's Fortnite Battle Royale, which is the PvP 100-player deathmatch game, which is definitely the more successful of the two. But I don't think... I think there are still a lot of people playing the standard Fortnite as well. I kind of dropped off it eventually, but I think there are still people playing it.
If you haven't, like, played either, they're definitely worth playing. I think the Battle Royale one is probably the more fun.
Well, it's completely free as well, yeah. So naturally more people are going to flock to that. But we're not here to plug Fortnite. We've done that quite a lot already on this show because we want to talk about the Paragon shutdown.
Yeah.
And I'll actually say that Epic Games, even though I give them a bit of shit sometimes, and I don't think they did everything right with Paragon, I think... I don't like the way they double dip. Like, they're selling an early access game that will eventually be free to play. Not to mention that game they're selling already has, like, egregious microtransactions within it that gets people to just, like, pay money out the ass to, like, compete.
I didn't like the way that the characters were very carefully cosplayed versions of Overwatch. That's all I'm going to say.
A lot of similarities are there.
It was essentially really poor cosplay. That's all I'm going to say. It was like someone had, you know, when a mother says, or a kid comes home with the thing and he's like, hey, I've got to be Florida. And someone just puts like two bits of like the Simpsons reference. And yep. She's like, I'm Florida. And it's like,
I knew where that was going.
And then orange tape to her and the word Florida of Lisa. Yeah. That's what I felt Paragon was.
I know. Damn.
It's so bad, right? But it was just like, hey, I'm Florida. And, I felt so bad. But it was really bad.
Obviously, Paragon, not the only game shut down. Recently as well, Gigantic announced that they were shutting down their servers, which to me was a shock because I remember when Gigantic came out. It came out at a similar time to a game called Lawbreakers. And I'm like, well, of the two, Gigantic is going to be the success. Like, this game seems really cool. It seems to be quite unique comparative to Lawbreakers, which was very Overwatchy. Whereas, you know, Gigantic tried to, like, fill its own niche by being this half hero shooter, half MOBA game that was, like, its own thing, really.
It was a little Battleborn-y for me, and I was really hyped about this.
It was, actually, yeah. Battleborn is a pretty similar example.
I was really hyped for Gigantic, and it had this Battleborn feel. And
another game that really went down the toilet.
Yeah, I know.
It seems to be this genre of games that it's just so hard to keep players, like, playing, right? Because you have the biggest games in the world are often within this category of MOBA, hero shooter, like, kind of realm. Like Overwatch, League of Legends, Dota 2, yada yada. Like, we could keep listing. But then games come in to try to compete and they just die. And then all of a sudden you're seeing servers shutting down and games stopping being developed.
You've got to really have, like, this magic ingredient, like, some sort of sprinkle dust to put on it. And to keep it niche and in there and keep it going. Because if you don't have, like, the little pixie dust to sprinkle out of Tink's butt, it just dies. You know, if you're not whacking the fairy over top of it, it's just gone.
That's a beautiful thing to imagine in my head.
All I see is, like, Peter Pan holding Tink just smacking her butt. Smacking the butt over the top of the game. Come on, give me the dust. Yeah. But, yeah, it's just... I don't understand why the games die.
Well, it's disappointing. I mean, the end of the day, it's because there aren't enough people playing the games. Why bother continuing to help and develop and support?
I thought Gigantic had the player base.
I thought so too, but here we are, like, knowing that the servers are shutting down soon, so clearly not big enough.
I had just put my, like, Microsoft store to US to get it to come up to Australia to get it.
Wow.
And I just got it, and I was like, yes, so keen to play.
Well, you're going to have to get in there before everything dies. Another one that's ending quite soon, actually, and this is a strange one, because you think of this game and you don't immediately think multiplayer, but it is. I'm talking about Demon's Souls, which the servers are shutting down at the end of this month.
Yeah, I never actually played a lot of it, but I was, you know... I heard good things.
Well, I never played any of Demon's Souls, but I played the entire Dark Souls series, so I know the concept and like the kind of game that it is. And it can be absolutely played single player, that's fine, but it's got this drop-in, drop-out kind of co-op experience where you can invade somebody else's world and help them to, like, you know, progress throughout their game. And
like an SOS?
An SOS in what?
Oh, in Monster Hunter, you can SOS and help people. So it's like, big, scary... thing. Fuky Fuky help, or Rathalos help. And so I guess this is like a Dark Souls SOS.
Yeah, more or less like that, yeah.
Which would happen a lot in Souls.
Yeah, because those games are super challenging, so having that ability, like, I don't think I would have beaten Dark Souls 3 without the co-op ability to summon somebody into my world and help me, definitely. And then there's also the PvP aspect of Dark Souls games, which I'm going to assume is also part of Demon's Souls, where you can invade other people's worlds and actually attack them and go on the PvP rampage.
That would be so mean because Souls is totally, already...
It's like, totally cruel.
That's
it's
like
awful.
A dick move.
Yeah, absolutely. And you, if you have your online functionality turned off, you won't get invaded for the PvP battles, but you also can't summon people to help you. So you, it's this balance of, oh my God, like, do I want online connectivity or not?
I feel like the kind of people playing Souls games would like understand that the games are already a giant, you know, screw you, but there's always that one person out there just waiting to screw you over.
People love it as well. Like, there's a big PvP community. So it's like, yeah, sure. If you're playing through the game for the first time, it's like, oh my God, I'm being invaded. Like, my life. Like, this is awful, but at the same time, it's quite fun, the PvP, as long as there is server stability, which a lot of the time there isn't, but still, that's a whole nother topic.
But I guess it's not a topic that we're going to have to worry about anymore.
And then there's been another huge example semi-recently, which was Marvel Heroes Online, and this was particularly devastating because it only just got ported to consoles, and then they revealed that they were shutting down servers, and it's like, well... Why? Like, this like came out of nowhere. Why are you doing this to us kind of thing?
I feel like this is a very Marvel move in a way, but at the same time, it's just like, why? Why hurt me like this, Marvel? But then maybe it's not Marvel. I don't know.
Look, yeah, who makes those decisions is sometimes really hard to pinpoint, but ultimately... somebody has said, no, we're not funding this anymore. It's a dying force. Just put it out of its misery.
Maybe the console port was the last ditch move.
Final
like,
straw.
Yeah. Like, let's try this. Let's throw it to console. Let's hope. And then it didn't do well. And they're just like, oh, crap. And
imagine being one of those players. Like, imagine waiting for and then purchasing the console release of this game. And then, like, 4 weeks later, you're like, oh, what do you mean it's shutting down? Like, how soon? That's insane.
Well, I think it was a free off the marketplace thing to get. But you
Okay. That makes it slightly better, but there probably were
microtransactions.
Yeah. So absolutely people could pay money for these experiences. Very few games are entirely free.
Yep. So, yeah. So there were microtransactions, but the game was really fun. And it was, like, kooky and niche. And it reminded me a lot of another game that I used to play, which was City of Heroes and Villains, which was my very first experience of ever having a server shut down on me and having a game taken away. Thank you, NCSoft.
NCSoft. Yeah. I'm shaking my fist at you. You might not be able to see it, but you can hear the aggression.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, tell us about this game, because I really know nothing about Cities of Heroes.
It was... Look, I started playing Marvel Heroes Online because I wanted another game like City Heroes and City of Villains. So it was essentially...
Well, you should have seen this shutdown coming then, if it's like a second time around.
It's just like, cut me deep again. Take my Heroes games away from me, people. Yeah, it was essentially a world that you could go on that was like a giant open world with everyone in there, and you could create your own custom hero. And you had superpowers... And there was, like, super speed or jumping or flying or super strength. And you could create your own hero guild and you'd have a super base. And you could customize the hell out of your base to some stupid extremes. Same with, like, you could create your own villain thing. And you had super, like, villain different powers for your villains. Like, you could have psychic powers or, you know, some of them were the same as the hero powers, but... Essentially, you had some unique powers that only villains could have. And it was just such a great little game. And I made some really good friends that I'm even friends with still today on this community. And it was terminated back in 2012. Like, the 30th of November, 2012 is the last day of service. And I was
on... And that date is just, like, engraved into your memory as, like, the most painful day.
I was online on the servers on those days. And I stood in the center of Paragon City with my little hero.
The
very first character I created.
That's so sad, but kind of funny as well. I don't know.
To say goodbye.
I like picturing little avatar Rachel going, no, my servers.
It was... Oh, I remember the name of my character and everything. Oh, it was really
heartbreaking. Go on, share. I want to know.
She was Cosmic Trance. I always Trance.
Boring. I already knew you used that avatar name.
Sorry.
I wanted something really embarrassing about your past, but obviously not.
Not yet. No, you know that. It's fine. Another conversation.
I know far too much. So what do you think the ethics are of shutting down like servers for games? Like, say you have a game and you've put a lot of money and resources into it, and the servers are still running. There's a small but dedicated group of people still playing your game, but they're not generating any money. Like, do you shut them down? Do you say, it's not worth it for us anymore? We can't continue putting money and resources into this thing that isn't being any benefit to us as a company? Or do you keep it going for the community?
Look, I think if there's a big enough community, like, most online games have multiple servers. If you can get rid of all those servers and dump them into one, you generally only want running one server. So if you can run one server and have it maintained by one person, maybe that's worth it. I don't know.
Is it though?
I don't know. I feel like...
The thing is, we can't make business decisions for other people, but at the same time, it can hurt. Like, you can be one of those people from those small but dedicated communities and go, wow, like, I can't believe my voice isn't being heard and all these other people who I'm playing with, we mean nothing. Server squashed. That's it.
Like, at the end of City Heroes, City of Villains, there was over 100,000 of us, easily near 200,000 of us.
Yeah.
That were,
I think,
actively advocating to try and keep it going.
Well, that's the kind of perspective, right, you need. Like, we keep talking about small but dedicated communities, but I'm talking small in the grand scheme of things. Small compared to the giant booming games that are out there and thriving. Like, 100,000 might actually be quite a small amount, although that seems quite large for a game to shut down over. But still, like, we can have quite large communities that just aren't large enough for developers to bother.
I guess that's true. I mean, I think you have to look at the scope of who's still playing. If you've got a few thousand or, you know, tens of thousands of people left playing your game, is it really worth it? I mean, for what you pay to keep your server running and to maintain the, you know, structure of that server, because you got to remember that it's not just running a server and letting it go. You have to have a developer continuously maintain that.
Yeah.
So it's not just, oh, can't you just leave it alone? No, they can't. Servers require maintenance. Games require upkeep, even once they've been developed.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you can't. Also, it's like your name is attached to this product. You can't just ignore it.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you do that and let a game stagnate and kind of crumble in on itself without your, you know, godly help making it work, then you've ruined your own property. Whereas kind of sometimes shutting down a server is like, you know, this has been a great ride, but this is the end, this is the conclusion, let's like set it to sail while it's still kicking rather than let it die painfully in anguish.
Yeah, I agree. But I mean, I'm still all for Grunt, you know, A, B or Eugene to sit in the corner and, you know, work for me once a week. So, you know.
True. All right, it's this balance you've got to find, right? And I think as far as like offering refunds for games that are shut down, Epic Games, kudos to them, because when they announced Paragon's shutting down their servers, they said, all right, fine, full refund for everybody who purchased this game, full refund for every purchase of any microtransactions within the game. We're sorry this didn't work, but here's all your money back, which is awesome.
Yeah, I think they even offered people content in any of their other games or something if they wanted to transfer content.
Oh, that's cool. So yeah, so maybe people, like, going from Paragon to Fortnite.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a cool way to do it. So they're saying, rather than take your money back, we'll just give you in-game credits for this other game we run.
Yeah.
Which is smart on their behalf, but, you know, ultimately, good thing that they offered the option to have a full refund, because that's, like, that's a lot of money they probably just lost on this game. And I guess they're okay to do it because of the success of Fortnite, but still, like, that would hurt.
Oh, yeah, and they're not giving up on the community. They're going, like, oh, you enjoy Paragon? Here. How about one of our other many delights?
Why don't you enjoy this instead?
Yeah. What's that? You like truffles? Here, why not shiitake or something?
So I think the idea of offering refunds is the best and ideal way to handle it, but I don't think it's always an option to all developers. Not everybody is Epic Games.
No.
Some smaller developers, like, especially if your servers have been running for a long time, you can't just turn around and say, oh, full refund to everybody. It's like, well, hang on. Like, no. People got a lot of enjoyment out of your game. You deserve some money for that.
And not all developers, when they shut down their servers, are in the, like, place to be able to do that either. Some developers, when they shut down their servers, are doing it because they're going bankrupt or forth. So
it is your risk when you're playing a multiplayer game. Like, you're not, if you're purchasing a multiplayer game, you know that those servers aren't necessarily going to be alive forever. And that's something, I guess, you just got to realize when you're paying for it. On the same hand, though, something like Marvel Heroes, where it shuts down literally like a month after the console release, like, that's on the developers. That's huge. Like, yeah. Don't do that. That's just insane.
Look, I think that out of all of them, that's possibly one of the biggest surprises as well.
Yeah, it was really disappointing. Anyway, that's all the time we've got for this week. We've been talking all about server shutdowns, which is a bit of a gloomy topic, but still, yeah. I've had some fun. My name has been Elliot. Who have you been again? Cosmic Trance?
Let's go with that.
Yeah, yeah, you've been Cosmic Trance, aka Rachel. AKA. Thank you for joining me.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.